There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. Follow the Money on VSiN. Yeah, we're live in downtown Las Vegas. Loaded show coming up over the next 3 hours where we will recap what took place last night in a clunker of a Game 6 NBA Finals from a betting perspective. Plenty today on the Major League Baseball card. We'll touch on tomorrow night's Game 2 Stanley Cup Final as well, and some good guests sprinkled throughout as well. Brian Mahoney, who covers the NBA, and Wes Reynolds, VSiN hosts, on guys to look at today live at the U.S. Open, maybe some Round 2 matchups as well. So, Paulie, once the NBA Finals, like that matchup was set, if you want to go back to when the Celtics beat the Heat and the Warriors got there in the West, you know, from that day forward, it was basically a battle of the public betting Golden State. And I think like every single sharp bettor that I heard was on Boston. And plenty of them thought it was going to be an early series. And it happened to be kind of early.
True.
But they lost.
There was some people, and I actually agreed, that 220 adjusted series price was too low when Boston led 2-1. But we'll talk to Brian Mahoney, who was there, and he covers the league. I think he nailed it beautifully today. I mean, they blew the series in Game 4 and Game 5. I mean, you got to get at least one of them. But to lose both and for Curry to have a bad performance and you still lost the game, I just thought Tim Bontemps, ESPN, had the best line that the last three games, Boston treated this like a regular season game in February. And Golden State said, it's the NBA Finals.
Well, isn't that where, and again, so people will poo-poo this, but all that experience on one side, right? Those championship rings, the pedigree, the, you know, Steph Curry's been there, done that a million times.
Right.
And the Celtics had not. In fact, they had a grand total of 0 games played by their players on their roster in the NBA Finals, and that was a talking point, and that turned out like last night, right? They fall down big early, Golden State. No panic whatsoever, and they never played with panic. And, you know, Golden State over the years did play with panic. They did against LeBron and Cleveland for sure in some of those series. And the Celtics, I got to tell you, a couple of their individual players who we'll talk about coming up, they played scared and, you know, panicky, and they were outside of their element for almost the entire series. And I think that's a big reason why they lost.
Yep, I'm with you on the experience. No doubt about it. The other thing is, how do you sit there and everyone's talking about it? Coaching staff, media, fans, stop with the turnovers. And that's what happened again yesterday. I mean, that is just a horror show. How bad they are taking care of the ball. Also, offensively, in the four losses, 88, 90, 94, and 97 points.
Yeah.
Their half-court offense was atrocious. Tatum was horrendous. But just silly, stupid turnovers. Game in, game out, and they get off to a 12-2 start 3 minutes into the game. Building's up for grabs. It's going crazy. Here we are, right? What a night in Boston. Then you get outscored 52-25 at home in a closeout game with your season on the line.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
That the worst part, and they talked about this on the broadcast last night, how on earth does a team in the finals allow the opponent to go on a 21-0 run?
Right.
That should never, and in fact,
never
it's still,
it's the
right.
record.
There's
it's a
reason why it's never happened.
Yeah. In a road team as well? Yes. A road team
I could
to do
not
that.
Believe what I was watching last
totally
night.
Totally agree.
And you couple that with the silly mistakes. Again, this is not high school basketball or low-level college basketball. This is like the best in the world playing for a championship, and they looked like a high school team or a bad college team because I can give them a pass if it was Golden State's defense that played out of this world. I can't give them a pass when all those turnovers were unforced. Not all of them, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where it was just sloppy pass and some of the stuff over the head like this, trying to get it to their... What are we watching?
Yeah.
Where'd this come from? You were horrible in the series. You're paid professionals, and you look like crap the entire time. I'm offended watching that series.
Yep.
Oh, it was one... Like the Nets, if you go back and look at bad teams playing in the finals over the years... Like the Nets when they were going against the Spurs, they had no chance. The Nets against the Lakers had no chance. The Celtics team, they were the best team in the NBA going down the stretch. They were good.
Down the stretch since January.
Yeah, right, right.
They were blowing people out?
They looked like some of those really bad teams from the Eastern Conference that somehow made it and played a really good team from the West like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. The first half was just, it's fitting that's how the season ended. Another blowout. They were out-rebounded by 9 in the first half. They were 3 of 14 from 3. They had 13 turnovers. They finished the game with 23. Tatum, 2 points. Thanks, buddy. 2 points in the second half.
Oh, God.
What happened to this guy? What happened? You know, some of this stuff is feels scripted. Like he put so much time into it. Oh, here's me standing next to my son. Here's me with my kid in the national anthem. I'm going to send Kobe a text.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dress up like Kobe did with before his Celtics workout. How about this? How about you don't turn the ball over back-to-back possessions?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
How about you play well in one game? Like, what happened to you? Down the stretch again in the regular season, I was making the case that Tatum should have actually had a chance to win the regular season MVP, all things considered, where they came from and how good they were at that time over the final 3 months of the season. And he was playing out of his mind. 46 points against the Bucks in a must-have game in that series against the champs.
I know.
And then when you get the moment was clearly too big for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time all year long, and I watched a lot of their games from like January on. That's the first time I watched him play like that pretty much the entire time. And he played like that for 6 games.
Yep. Brown had a bad series. Tatum, bad series. Smart again. I haven't seen voters get duped like this since Westbrook won the MVP for Defensive Player of the Year. I know you've been on that from the get-go, and you're right about that. But, you know, that's the negative. But they had a great season. I mean, they were 25-25 at one point. No one saw this coming. Again, the talk back in Boston, we were at Foxwoods in November, was they should trade one of the big two. So the fact that they get to the championship and they're a young team, well, we'll see what they do in the offseason. But they were 2 wins away from winning the title, but they just imploded down the stretch. Now, that's 4 titles now in 8 years for Golden State. Curry's legacy. I mean, just Jordan territory now. 32 career points per game in clinchers. Second all time to Jordan. And he goes off again last night. What the work they did with Bob Myers, bringing in Wiggins, making trades, drafting guys, picking guys up. They had the worst record in the league a couple years ago. They lost in the play-in game last year. I doubted them all year. I thought Memphis would beat them. I thought Phoenix was a better team. I thought Phoenix was a better team. We're going to beat them, too. But,
doesn't matter.
That's right. Here they are. And your excellent point about the public got the best of the professionals, and the public beat up the books. And what Mike Palm said yesterday, I mean, everyone was picking Golden State in 6, and they got it right.
If you miss what Mike Palm said on this show yesterday, we'll play that for you, I think, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. The reaction that you and I had when he said that live on the air was, oh, you got to be kidding me. That's not. So this is Steve Kerr won another championship last night talking about Steph Curry, the finals MVP for the first time in his life, pointing out to people that Steph has always been the X factor.
None of this happens, you know, and that's not taking anything away from Joe and Peter's ownership, because they're amazing owners, built an incredible organization. Bob Myers, a hell of a GM, and, you know, our players. We've had so many great players, but Steph ultimately is, you know, why this run has happened.
This doesn't happen if the Minnesota Timberwolves don't go Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio back-to-back in 2009. And Steph Curry goes one pick after that. But all of that, I mean, and Kerr made it a point last night on the podium to bring over Bob Myers. Bob Myers has done an unbelievable job drafting players, but we've talked to guys like David Thorpe on this show before, right? And he said it's not really the drafting, it's how they develop the guys. So it's the coaching staff, it's the guys at the lower levels helping out. But, I mean, people mocked and they joked around about Jordan Poole when he was drafted. There was one guy that I saw like a month ago, he said it's the worst pick of the entire draft. I don't know what the Warriors are thinking here.
They develop players, though.
They
will coach you up. What do you think? What do you make of what? Well, it's a hard question. What do you think Durant was thinking last night?
Oh man, to get inside his mind, that's a great question.
Couldn't stay there, huh?
He had to. That guy had to go play with Kyrie.
Yep.
Oh man.
And Kyrie could be gone too. And who knows what happens in Brooklyn?
Actually glad it worked out this way, because then like Steph could go on and Klay could go on and win another one without him, because people forget that the Warriors actually won a title before Durant got there. And then people always want to, you know, whatever. It's just all about the legacy stuff and, oh, Steph, they need Durant to win one. And, you know, they had to go through all those, you know, people forget about this. Steph pretty much, missed the entire year a couple years ago, fell on his wrist right away, broke it to begin the season. Klay missed, 2.5 years? Now, but... to actually say after the game that nobody bought, I mean...
Okay, you were 10-1.
That's like Nick Saban.
No one believed in us.
Yes.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, you were the third or the fourth shortest shot in the board.
I will say this, too, and to Von Tobel and humans, again, this is not March Madness. I don't count Utah and Dallas in the first round because it was the series price was weird because of the uncertainty of Luka. Dallas would have been favored if Luka was healthy. The team that was favored in the series went 13-1. You don't get upsets in the NBA playoffs. So next year and the year after and the year after, when you go and do your playoff previews and you're thinking about, should I pick a dog? Can I make a case? No, don't make a case for a dog, because it doesn't happen. Other than Dallas upsetting Phoenix, the chalk out there in every series.
Wow.
Yep, that's how it is. It's the opposite of March Madness. You're not going to get upsets in the NBA playoffs.
And I remember going back when the Nets actually opened up as a favorite over the Celtics. Now, that flipped in 5 seconds.
Well, that was,
that was a bad opening number.
Yes, it was.
And then they took care of them in 4 games. But 13 out of 14.
Dallas over Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's it.
And, I mean, if Phoenix, it's what it could have should, I get that. But who knows how bad the COVID potentially was there with the team. That's the report anyway. If they win that game, maybe the Suns beat the Warriors.
Who knows? Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. I think we need to concentrate on Steph a little bit more. I mean, the first finals MVP, that got me from a betting perspective. I had other guys in the Warriors at really, really long numbers to win his fourth championship. And also, I can all but promise that someone, somewhere, probably in the Boston area, is saying this today about Jason Tatum. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to CallSheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSEN, the sports betting network.
We're underway round two, U.S. Open going on now. BetRivers gives you extra reasons to tune in and play. Log in each day of the U.S. Open, receive a free profit boost to power up your tournament bet. Every round, a new boost for you to use before the round starts. So while the players are on the course, go to the BetRivers app or visit BetRivers.com. Always check out the house specials as well, and BTTS game two tomorrow, Stanley Cup first period has been boosted. Great job as always, Bet Rivers. What were you thinking in the first possession of the game yesterday as you had Al Horford and Draymond Green to make the first field goal?
Okay, so I had Horford 10-1, Draymond Green 20-1. Talked about that at the in the final hour of the show yesterday. Well, first of all, when they go to Horford, and I'm like, oh my God, he's going to put this up. And then it goes halfway down and it rattles out. I'm like, okay.
In and out, yep, right.
Okay, and then to come back down and then get it to Draymond, and he puts one up from like 8 feet off the glass. I'm like, that's going to be a brick. Ah, it goes in.
There it was. Count it. Cash it. He was great last night.
Okay.
He was great.
Tip of the cap to him.
He took a lot of abuse, but he was awesome. And there was a guy, how about this? Remember, he was 0 of 11 from 3 going into last night in the series. Someone at PointsBet put $5,000 on him to make a 3, plus 190. And he got it. He got it right away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's 0 of 11.
You know, and who was it last night? Was it Van Gundy who said when he tried it again then after the made three?
Oh, Breen said he's on
well,
a hot...
Breen goes, he's feeling it.
Yeah,
right?
Feeling it, yeah.
And then they disagree. Breen was right, because that's the worst part about it, right? When you give a guy like Paulie, as you call it, irrational confidence guy,
yeah,
when he makes his first three and there's no hesitation the next time out, of course he thinks that he's feeling it.
Yeah, he's not shooting that unless he'd made one.
Yes,
he's right.
Yeah,
I'm hot.
Yeah,
there
sure
you go. That's right.
So now, what do you want to do? This is going to be a common narrative. I get it. We normally don't do this. But again, Steph was awesome last night. 32 points, finals MVP. He got me. I mean, he's the one guy. I had huge numbers on Jaylen Brown, Al Horford. I faded Jason Tatum like crazy. I never bet him once to win the finals MVP. Uh-huh. I'm talking going back to April before the playoffs started. I had Jordan Poole 380-1. I had Klay Thompson and Wiggins at huge numbers. And Curry got me, and he deserved it.
Yep.
And so, look, I have a tough time. This is going to be a very, very hot discussion today moving forward as well. Is Steph Curry better than Magic Johnson because he won another ring? I have a tough time. If you want to rank just by position, I'm still going to have a tough time putting Curry ahead of Magic.
Really?
And I will preface it by saying, on the back, I got to say this. Steph Curry is my second favorite athlete of all time. Barry Sanders, number one. Those two players gave me more joy as a sports fan over the years than any other players in any other sport. Yep. I've loved watching him play. He's unbelievable. But I don't know if I can put him ahead of Magic.
Well, there's not much better in sports when he's got a heat check going.
There's nothing.
And it just unguardable. What do you do? I mean, he changed the game. He's one of the best of all time. And he changed the game. Or he's just, okay, I'll shoot from just beyond half court. And that, to me, that's a... I mean, he was one year... He was more efficient and had a better shooting percentage on corner threes than Dwight Howard did on layups. Yeah. And like LeBron was close to the rim. It was ridiculous what he was at. But then you just see, it's like, okay, I have to get so far out to guard him, and then I'll just blow right by and I can lay it in as well. But, you know, that to think that a 50-50 and 90 was in play for the series before the poor performance in Game 5 is astonishing. But incredible. And there was a lot of people that doubted him. And then, like, I don't know, small guy Davidson. I don't see it. A lot of people were like, I thought absolutely he was going to be not like this.
Well,
no one saw this, but I thought he'd be pretty good coming out of Davidson.
I would say that he has changed the game of basketball more than any player since Michael Jordan. And I say that because, like, no other player can be LeBron James. Like, LeBron is a guy. I mean, because of his size, like nobody can do that. So why even try? Everybody wanted to be Michael Jordan. He's smaller than LeBron, 6'6". Like, he was emulated and copied by, like, so many. I remember watching McDonald's All-American games and I used to tape them on VHS, and I still have probably 20 at my mom's house in Wisconsin. He's the next Michael Jordan. I mean, it was just every single year, and that's who the guy wanted. Every player in, I don't know, elementary school, middle school, beyond that, AAU, high school, every player wants to be Steph, and they've wanted to be it now for a decade. Maybe, like, 7-8 years, they want to be this guy. I can do this. I'm 6'3". I can't be LeBron James, but I can go out there and try to shoot the hell out of the ball. So why not?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see all these teams now taking 43s a game, and it's space and pace.
Well, it is silly to think that why all these years they thought, hey, listen, three's bigger than two. Why did it take people so long to figure that out?
Yep.
And
it really is.
In the corner three. But it's I like it that, you know, you don't have this caveman basketball anymore, and for years just to be dump it down to the big guy and pound it, post up and take a contested shot. When this guy can come down and get set a pick, and more times than not, it's going in.
Yep. And to your point, just to go over a little bit of, you know, basketball history here and legacy and how guys would translate, a lot of people will run off Larry Bird and say, nah, he would not work in today's game. I hear that because, you know, it's players today, and this is accurate, players today are bigger, faster, stronger, whatever. I flip it, and I think Larry Bird would be better today than he was in the
80s. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think it was either Bob Ryan or Dan Shaughnessy who said it, or he would have adapted.
No doubt.
He's one of the best shooters ever. Like, you want to just step back?
Think about this. Come on. Larry Bird was one of the best shooters ever back then. He never took threes.
Yeah.
And he was already one of the best passers ever. He would be probably a top five player today in the NBA. I think he'd be better than what he was in the 80s. So from a betting perspective, we had Mike Palmon from Circa here in downtown Las Vegas yesterday, and we were both stunned at his reaction when we said, like, what's the handle like on this series?
We need the Celtics tonight. We get buried to Golden State in six, that specific bet.
Oh, that.
Buried.
Good info.
Buried, like Super Bowl type.
What?
Oh,
you're kidding.
It's bad.
It's
a big number. People bet it before and during and...
Wow.
How about after they were down 2-1? It was a really juicy price.
Another good point.
And they were still betting it then?
Yes.
Oh, mama.
Adding on.
Yeah.
So I love that bet. I'm also on that tonight, too, under 17.5.
Yeah.
This should be a good game.
Should be. Well.
Should be.
Should
be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
I'd leave that part
there
in.
Yeah. Yeah. That summed up the NBA since the end of the first round. I mean, just blowout after blowout. So it was 5-6-1 before the series in most places. And then good point about they were down 2-1. Who knows what that price was? Why were people betting that, though? Did they think it was the 2-3-2 format? Or that Boston had home court? Why would you bet Golden State in six if Boston had home court? That was strange. But congrats to you. You cashed the ticket.
Sure.
Isn't that odd, though?
I mean, for people who...
Because you needed them to close out on the road in that scenario.
Paul, they had to win the next three games.
That too, yes.
And that's exactly what they did. And they're down by 5 points in the fourth quarter in game four. That's when the series completely flipped. It was never the same. When Boston only scored 6 points in the final 7+ minutes of game four, they were never the same team. I mean, that's pretty much when it was gone. Because if they close that game, it's 3-1, totally different story.
Yep. Five bench points last night. Five. The others were horrendous. Pritchard, awful. Williams, awful. Just a bad job all the way around. Nothing out of the bench. Maybe fatigue played a role all these games. Day after day, travel, all that, short bench, seven-game series back-to-back. Who knows?
Here's why I wanted one more game. Well, we would have had a game seven. But I know I would have been live to Horford and Jaylen Brown on long shot tickets to win the finals MVP. Jason Tatum was not going to win the finals MVP. There's absolutely no chance. If they won the game last night, and again with the stink bomb that he put up, he wasn't going to win it. So it came down, in my opinion, to like Steph versus Jaylen Brown or Al Horford. Didn't happen, so I lost those tickets again like I talked about. But
what are they saying about him locally today?
Jason Tatum?
Yeah.
I can promise you, Paulie, somewhere in that area, and you brought it up in the first segment, if you go back to November, December, the narrative in Boston was you got to break it up, you got to trade Tatum or Brown. Somewhere, probably in the, and in fact, this might be going on as we speak nationally. I don't even know. It's going to be, you're going to hear it today. They need to trade Jason Tatum. Somebody out there will absolutely be dead serious about that.
They need a true point guard.
Yes, they do.
That's what they need.
Yep.
You can just, I mean, 1-8 in the playoffs when they had 16 turnovers or more. It was just, and I said it all series. They will win if they don't turn it over. They will win if they don't, and everyone knows this, and they still do that, and they still play like that.
Yeah, they capped it off with 22 more last night.
I mean, it's like you said, they were just silly, unforced Mickey Mouse high school errors, too, most of them. I mean, they were not playing professional basketball, and you just—
Udoka's got to be sick.
Yeah, you just can't win doing that. You can't just give away points. And again, if you translate this to the regular season, they would have been dead last. They turned the ball over 16% of the time. The series, 16% of their possessions, they turn the ball over. And then 100 going into last night, 107 points per 100 possessions in the series, which would have been 27th in the regular season, right where the teams that were tanking and not playing people. I mean, that tells you.
And, brutal,
and they were, but they were still in the series. But you're right, game four, game five, that was it.
Yep, that's what happened. So how about at one book, looking ahead to next year, the Clippers are tied for the shortest shot on the board.
And I agree with it.
The Clippers?
I agree with it. Yes, you have Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. I know the playoff issues, but and they traded under the radar. They traded for Powell late last year.
Oh yeah, that great addition.
And I'm sure they can add people as well. And Ballmer's not afraid to spend money.
No.
So that was. I see the Lakers are 22-1. Wow. No respect for the Lakers, but I'll tell you, a team sitting there lingering. Miami 14-1. You're telling me Riley doesn't make a Godfather offer to get Mitchell?
I also would say the same thing maybe about Dallas. They were in that 14-1 range. I could see that happening.
Okay.
And don't scoff at the Clippers, by the way, because Kawhi's coming back from an injury. Look what the Warriors just did.
Right.
Okay. We'll recap the other sports betting action from last night and win some, lose some coming up next.
Always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Scott Steen, one of the lead cappers at Winners and Winers, has been consistent in MLB totals. The Steen Roller, 9-3 and 62% on the year. And he likes a game today in MLB. You can get it by texting VSiN to 320-350-3500. Get the total today in MLB by texting VSiN 320-350-3500. The great Brian Mahoney joins us now, covers the NBA for the Associated Press at Brian C. Mahoney on Twitter. He was at the game last night. Read his article. You nailed it in your article today. I mean, what happened last night was unfortunate, but Boston really blew this by losing and giving away Game 4 and Game 5.
Yeah, I thought so, Paulie. I thought, even as great as Curry was in Game 4, the Celtics should have won that game. They should have been up 3-1. And then Game 5 had the lead in the fourth quarter, fell apart with mistakes. And, you only get so many chances to do this. And when you give a couple away, you have to play perfect in the other games. And obviously last night, they were just far from that.
You know, it's funny, Brian, leading into the series, a big narrative was, okay, all that experience for the Warriors and zero NBA Finals experience for the Celtics. And it kind of played out like that, right? Because, the Warriors never looked like they were shaken at all in this series. But the Celtics, they played sloppy pretty much from game one through last night. And I don't know what I was watching with Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mitch. I didn't think too much of the experience because you know, they played seven games in the last two rounds. I thought, okay, that's not the finals. I get that, but it's still great experience. But you're right. A team like the, you know, without the Warriors experience last night, it would have gone away, I think. You know, you fall behind in a hostile environment last night. But the Warriors have been through this, and they turned the game around so quickly. And I think, yeah, without that experience, you know, they would have been in trouble.
Their player development is off the charts, isn't it? I mean, what Golden State, their staff, everyone seems to improve as the year goes on. And I'll give us some time, and we'll turn this guy into something.
Yeah, you can almost see right away why, you know, the other teams now wanted to hire Mike Brown and Kenny Atkinson. These guys, you know, they all do a great job. And yeah, I mean, every time they went in the game, and you know, especially last night, you know, the game turned in that first quarter when Payton and Poole went in. Looney, I thought, was great the entire playoff.
Yes, he was.
Otto Porter played some of the best basketball I've seen him play. So, yeah, these guys get there, and they all get better. You're absolutely right.
We've been talking legacy all week, and you've seen a lot of guys play. You covered the league for a long time. Where do you put Curry now?
Well, you know, he was already really, really high, and, you know, it's just not a lot you can pick apart anymore now. Yeah, you know, four titles and, you know, two of them now without Durant. You know, so, you know, the great, obviously, shooting, great team leadership now. As far as where you want to rank them, you know, I can say if you want to put them anywhere between, you know, the late 1 to 10 to early 10 to 15 range, I guess, would be fine. But, you know, I already thought the career was great, and now, you know, this year makes it even better.
Good assessment. I'm with you on all those comments. What do you think? By the way, you also cover the Nets from time to time. What do you think Durant's thinking this morning?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure he's happy for the guys that he's friends with and everything. And you know, both Durant and, you know, Kyrie, you know, they, you know, when you win a couple or win one even, I think some guys think that's enough. I want to go do something else, and I think that's the case with those guys. You know, they want to be doing the stuff from Brooklyn they're doing with their families and their business and all that. I mean, that's fine. But if you want to win titles, you can't leave teams that are more title ready. And certainly the Warriors were that kind of team.
Yep. Boston had a great season. It was also historic what happened. I mean, they were under 500, 18 and 21, and then 25 and 25. And then they come out of nowhere and turn it around and so good defensively. So what changes do you think, or will they? You don't want to go crazy, right? Because he just went to the finals. But what would you, maybe a true point guard, what tweaks would you make to the roster and moves the Celtics could make?
Yeah, I think that the one you just said is the one I think a lot of people were talking about last night. You know, some kind of veteran floor leader who settles them down when things go bad. When, you know, when their offense kind of dried up, they didn't seem to have a plan B sometimes. You know, somebody who can sort of figure out something else on the fly out there. And, you know, Marcus Smart, great year, a great competitor. I think a lot of teams would love to have him on their team on the other side of the floor. But offensively, you know, just kind of lacking that one thing. And but otherwise, yeah, the system they play is great. You know, certainly the top level personnel with Tatum and Brown is great. So just little tweaks here and there, they're certainly able to stay near the top.
A better bench, more depth. I mean, you see 5 bench points last night. You also, Grant Williams disappeared in the last series and a half.
Yeah, after that game 7 against Milwaukee, really not much from him at all. And yeah, the bench was almost unplayable last night. You know, Derek White had a pretty decent series for the most part. But, you know, when you watch the kind of guys the Warriors came in, you know, they impact the game. And none of those guys off the bench or Boston really did that last night.
Yep, spot on. So then what about the Warriors next year? They're going to be a year older. But they're also, like, what are you hearing about James Wiseman, who was the former number 2 pick in the draft not that many years ago?
Yeah.
If this guy can come in, they can plug him into the lineup. If he's healthy, then what?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to kind of see what happens there. When, you know, they think he'll be back this summer and ready to play. And then, you know, you look at, you know, Kuminga and Moody, you know, rookies getting this kind of great experience this year. So, yes, your older guys are another year older. But, you know, some of these guys become playable next year along with them. And, yeah, I mean, we know how good their teams are in the West. But, you know, this team certainly can still be where they are. You expect, you know, Clay with a full year might play even better next year. So, a lot of reason to think they can do this again, or at least come close to it.
At some books, the Clippers are the favorites next year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, talent-wise, I could definitely see that. Yeah, well, you know, Kawhi coming back, Paul George coming back. You know, they made some good moves during the season, even after things were getting away. And, you know, I think Ty Lue is one of the most respected coaches in the league. The only thing I would say about that is you're relying on guys being healthy who haven't stayed healthy. If you're going to say, you know, for them to win, you know, Kawhi and Paul George have to be out there. And, the last couple of years, we haven't seen enough of that. So, you know, hopefully for their case, they will. You know, I think everybody wants to see, you know, how good this team can be. But, you know, again, they have to show that they can actually, you know, be available all the time.
Also near the top are the Nets. Where is Kyrie playing next year?
Well, you know, I think he'll be in Brooklyn. You know, I don't think he'll be in Brooklyn the way they want him to be. I think they want him to be, you know, more committed than he's been, obviously. And but the talent is certainly still there. And, you know, hopefully they'll think that, you know, makes a, you know, maybe this was a wake-up call for him now, seeing how, you know, they should have been better. They threw away a year this season, mostly because of his choices. And, you know, he'll act differently next year. And then certainly, you know, they can, you know, Durant, the way Durant played, they'll certainly have a shot at it. But, you know, again, it depends on kind of a lot what Kyrie does and what he shows them about how much he wants to be there.
I'll throw another team at you for next year, Brian. That's the Dallas Mavericks. They're around 14-1 to win the title. I think that they're going to be a very popular bet because of what Luka did this year. What did you think of the trade they made this week? They gave up a bunch of players. They really don't get on the court that often. And a first-round pick, though, to get Christian Wood.
Yeah, I was really intrigued by that move. You know, Wood is a guy who I think puts up great numbers on bad teams. I mean, I had him on my fantasy team a couple of years ago, and he was, you know, terrific. You know, what can he do on a winning team now? I think we're all curious to see. But if it works out, he's the kind of player exactly that you need, another, you know, talent in the front court. Luke is a top five player. He's not going anywhere as far as that goes. So, you know, again, I don't think they were nearly as good as they showed this year. I don't think they were, you know, certainly a conference finals kind of team, but I think they can sort of build toward that. So whether it's next year or in a couple of years, they'll be there. But, you know, as far as, again, are they ready to stay at the level they're at now? I'm not quite. I still think one player away, one very, very good player away.
Turmoil in Utah. Quinn Snyder quits. Where will Gobert could be out the door? Where do you think Mitchell winds up, or does he stay put?
I think he stays put for now, but you know, but check back next summer. I'm not sure how long that goes. You know, a lot depends on the kind of hire they make here, and then you know, what they do with Gobert, if anything. You know, I'm not sure exactly. Besides winning, which they all say is, you know, what mostly matters to Donovan. And but I, you know, that's one that I think everybody has their eye on. You know, every time that they go out quickly, it's one more reason to say, okay, is it now? Is it now? Is it now? Something has to change. Maybe it's just a coach, but you know, let's keep an eye on that one because, you know, he's a player that can change a franchise if eventually he moves.
Great work as always. Good article. And thanks for getting up early after a late night. Appreciate all your time.
Thanks, guys. You take care.
Thanks, Brian
Mahoney covers the NBA for the Associated Press at Brian C. Mahoney on Twitter. Golden State, the favorites at some spots. Nets, Boston, 6-1 range. Milwaukee, 7-1. Suns, 8. Clippers, 8. They are the Clippers are the favorites at some spots. Lakers 22-1. I'm looking at the Heat at 14-1. I think they could. You never know with Riley.
No, you don't.
He's like, okay, you want Hero and a bunch of picks? Give me Mitchell, okay?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, yep. Yeah, and Memphis 16-1 too. I mean, they showed a lot of depth, and they showed a lot of talent. It's just, it's still, you need that playoff experience, and they just weren't ready for that big game playoff experience against the Warriors.
Do you want to draw a line through a couple of these teams at the current number? Like for me, it's...
Oh, the Jazz. Come on.
Well, I mean, again, that should be 100-1, and I won't even touch it.
Yes.
I want to take like the blackest Sharpie on the planet and just keep going over the Nets and get off my page.
Yes.
6-1. That is one of the, there's no chance I would make that bet under any circumstance.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Kyrie isn't there.
I don't know how they're that low on the board.
Yep.
How about the Nuggets?
Well, they're getting Murray back.
And Porter. And Porter. Porter, think anyway.
Yep.
Back-to-back MVPs for the Joker, and he had nobody last year? Okay.
Want me to draw a line through the Sixers? You're going to bring Harden back? I mean, that's just... Did you see what Thybul could get?
I can't do that yet. No, I can't do that quite yet. No, what do you do?
He could get like $100 million. Like, no one's, I don't think he's going to give him that, but what he's eligible for.
Ooh.
I mean, a guy, I could beat him in horse. I mean, come on.
It is the NBA. I mean, after all, they gave Ben Simmons $180 million.
Yep. And, boy, the West is loaded. Remember, the Lakers were a huge disappointment. You think they could at least make the playoffs, please? And then the Pelicans get Zion back.
You want to take a peek at the Pelicans?
That'd be intriguing.
David Thorpe
had a good
loves
year.
Him. Loves him.
Yes. You add him in a mix now? He's in shape?
Yep. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, one game went exactly how we detailed it on yesterday's show, and I might have a better angle with the starting pitcher going today. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to CallSheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get up, you beast. Top horse racing plays from ExpressBet analyst Jeff Siegel. We're going to Santa Anita. Race 7, he likes the 5. 5-2 on the morning line. Race 9, he likes the 5. Bolden on top at 8-5. You can wager on these races and more at First Bet, the preferred horse racing app of VSiN. Use the code VEGAS22. You'll get $100 in free bets. Code VEGAS22. Go to VSiN.com/horses for details on this exclusive offer for VSiN fans. VSiN.com/horses. Speaking of VSiN fans, great to meet Frank yesterday from South Florida. And by the way, if we ever meet you and you get in these contests here, stay in touch, and we'd love to put you on the air too. If you're doing well in some of these contests, like the Circa Millions, if you're top 10 halfway through the year, you're the leader late, I mean, close to it.
Sure.
We'd love to talk to you, your strategy, and how things are going as well. So
if they're willing to during the season.
Right. So come down. Yeah, always stay at Circa. Get here. And come out soon. Nigel Seeley coming to town in less than a month as well. You can meet Nigel. He'll be staying here.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be a great week with Nigel out here. So yesterday there was a game. And look, I mean, a lot of people could come up with this because Patrick Corbin has been so bad. And you look at his numbers, you're like, okay, well, the Phillies are going to go nuts. We did a little bit of a deeper dive on him yesterday to find out exactly where it goes south for Patrick Corbin. And we pointed out by looking at the numbers, it starts to really unravel for him the second time through the order. So the first time through, and he did it yesterday, like the first and second inning, he was fine. In fact, I think he was flawless in those two innings. The first time through the order, he's a 3.71 ERA and a 3.21 FIP. The second time through, that ERA goes all the way to 7.83 with only a 14% K rate compared to 27% the first time through. Well, guess who came up at the top of the order with two outs in the third inning? It was Kyle Schwarber. And he took him deep. Yes, there was an error involved, so that stinks for Corbin. But he pounded that ball for a home run, and the inning just completely got away from Corbin. He could never gather himself. He needed a timeout on the mound, and the Phillies exploded for seven runs in that inning. So it got there. Paul, I might have a better angle for you today.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, everybody knows about this with Charlie Morton. He's on the road against the Cubs.
11-1 to the over.
There you go. So his ERA on the year is 5.67, yuck. His walks per nine, almost four, one of the highest marks of his career. Lowest K rate since 2015, highest home run rate since 2010. His ERA in the first inning is 10.5. Four home runs in the first inning already this year.
He's this year's Carrasco.
Yeah. He gets better in the second, but still not great. He really cleans it up in the third and the fourth, and after that, he totally falls apart. But if you go and look, again, a little bit deeper at Charlie Morton, the first time through the order, his ERA is 6.85. Gets better the second time. Third time's a disaster. But the first time through the order on the road, which is where he's pitching today, is 13.03. And the ERA on the road in the first inning is 18. 18 in the first inning with a FIP of 8.31 and a 2.67 whip.
Okay. You are taking on a bad team, though. What do you think?
Look, there's the information. You can do with it what you would
like. Okay, yes. What did you do?
Oh, here's what. Okay, this is beautiful, right? Love when this happens. So today, get here early, and I'm looking around to see if any books actually out here in Las Vegas posted a first inning number. Usually, these numbers are not out until later on in the day. But I found actually a couple books did have it today. I found one where they had plus 110. I'm like, first inning, plus 110? I thought it was going to be at least minus 110, minus 115. So I go and I try to make a bet. And guess what happened? At plus 110.
Did it spin on you?
Didn't spin.
Okay.
It said, trying to find my location. Once it did, it popped up, confirmed bet I did. Automatic rejection. And they moved it from plus 110 to minus 105.
Oh, God.
So I don't want to hear that there are 1,000 people betting Braves Cubs at 3:15 in the morning in Las Vegas in the first run, right? First inning. It was me making a bet trying to, and they said, nope, that's a Dikembe Mutombo, get it out of my face, and we're going to move it 15 cents on you.
I love this, you know, send to the traders for approval. I mean, what are you doing? You're sitting there watching Animal House or something on TBS at 3:30 in the morning, and you Mutombo that? Which
disgusting.
15 cent move? Like, what, are you coming over the top for five dimes here? I mean, come on.
And they won't, the limits at this time in the morning for something like that are not even that big anyway.
God.
And
don't even be open.
Don't even put it up. Don't even offer the bet. There's no reason to have it on the board.
So, did they put it in for you? Like I'm saying?
No.
I thought it was, okay, bet accepted, but this is the price.
No. Once it found my location, it said confirm bet. I went to confirm the bet, and it was an auto reject. I've never seen it that fast in my life. And then they moved it 15 cents. They didn't even show it moving. I went to go see if I could bet it again. It was minus 105 already.
Yeah. My God. What a fiasco.
The worst.
As far as the game, though, but this is, again, juicy. And keep riding the Braves. You're seeing $1.80, $1.90. But again, run line. 14 in a row. 13 on the run line. The offense has been awesome during this stretch. And the Cubs have dropped 10 in a row. And oh, mama, have they been giving up runs. What is it? How bad can it be with the wind? 8.5? I don't care. Even if it's coming in hard, blowing in. Still as bad as this Cubs rotation's been and what the Padres just did to them.
I will try to find that right now.
As Nigel will say, they're giving up runs for fun. But keep riding this Brave streak. And again, who knows how high this sucker can get. So, bad team, whatever. Okay. So now it's down to 4.5 in the division. And they're now 10 games over.
Okay, so I do see wind coming in from left field at 14.8 miles an hour.
As I recall, Morton used to be good in day games, though, too. But that's, you know, you can take that with a grain of salt, sure. I guess, as well. Sure. The other one, I'm trying to get in this other day game. What do you have for the game one starters? I will go to war with the Phillies if it's going to be Suarez. I think it's going to be an off pitcher, though.
Is it?
It's supposed to be a Don who's back now with the Nats to start, and they're 1-12 in his starts. And if you think Corbin's bad, I mean, this guy is all time. I mean, he's just, what's his ERA, 11? He's awful. So he's 1-11. The team's record when he starts 1-12, and again, the Phillies are hot. The bats have been on fire, and they're 11-2 since they whacked Girardi. I did see 220 game one Suarez, $1.40 on the run line. That's if it's Suarez against the Don. That was listed, but I think things have changed. It could be an off pitcher in game.
Okay, so I found it right here at Circa, where they do list the pitchers. They have Suarez against the Don, and they have 220, like you said, and they also have the Phillies run line at -148 right now.
Okay, well, it goes in 4 hours.
It does.
So, okay.
So those, again, you can list the pitchers there.
Right. I'm with, yes. Mm-hmm. I like the Phillies in if it's that spot. Some other good series get underway today as well. Big one in Toronto. Yankees and the Jays. Montgomery against Stripling. Again, how do you go against the Yankees? Now, it is on the road, so it's a 14-game home winning streak, but 47-16, and again, the sixth team since 1930 to win 47 of their first 63. Very disappointed in Toronto. They were playing well,
and then
you get beat a couple times against Baltimore. Have to do a better job with the starters who have been so good at home. Do you trust Stripling here? That's what it comes down to. Because if Vigor's like, okay, well, Montgomery will give you six solid.
Here's where I would be a little bit concerned with Stripling. His last two starts, he's been awesome. 11 innings, two hits, no walks, six Ks, zero runs. But he also faced the Royals and the Tigers. Now you're going against the New York Yankees? Kind of an upgrade there in overall talent.
Yeah.
And the Yankees are a pick'em, basically. This game's a pick'em. Probably a pass for me, but if I had it better, I would go with New York.
Okay. Kershaw is 260 at home tonight against Plesac and the Guardians, who have won four in a row. Good story. Five games over 500 and only two. Who's going to win that division? Cleveland only two back. White Sox still. They're coming off a sweep against Detroit, but still in third place. That's a tough call, but that's a big price for Kershaw.
You know, the Guardians were 11-1 not that long ago. 11-12-1.
Well, I got 12.
You got 12 to win the division?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. And then Red Sox and Cardinals, Waka against Wainwright. That's a good series, too. Now the Cardinals in first place.
Well, it's very important.
Goldschmidt's doing, sure, two playoff teams right now.
Now, can I?
But Waka's had a good year, and again, keep an eye on Goldschmidt. I mean, at some spots, the favorite to win NL MVP, as he should be, in my opinion.
How long will this continue with Waka? And I ask that because in 21 innings at home at Fenway, ERA of 0.86, a whip of 1, he's getting very lucky. The BABIP's 213, batting average balls in play, so the FIP and XFIP are around 4, a little bit higher. But does he limit the Cardinals tonight again? Is this going to be like 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs? It's Michael Waka we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't want to. It's hard to me go under in a Red Sox game. Be tough.
But Wainwright eats innings, 7 innings in 4 of his last 5 starts.
Good card, some good series today. Yeah, you also have the Astros at home against the White Sox. Follow the money, Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Paulie and Mitch up next to the NFL. In a long time reporter who's covered the NFL for a long time, what he thinks of how long the Watson suspension will be. You won't believe it. That's coming up next.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to CallSheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.